Ephesians chapter 6 tonight. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to continue our study of the family, the Christian family in particular. I really don't feel finished with our study of parents. There's just so much involved with being fathers and mothers according to God's will in the Scripture. But nevertheless, we'll go on tonight to children. Hear the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and worship again this evening and to hear your word. We thank you for the Scriptures, which are true in all their parts. And we ask that you would help us to look in these Scriptures tonight as parents and children, as grandparents and grandchildren, to learn the ways of God and the will of God for our lives. We ask that you would teach us from the Bible that parents would be examples of God's mercy and love to their children, that they would look at their fathers and know what God as a father is like, that they would look at their mothers and be able to see what a Christian is like, that our children would taste of mercy and not hatred and anger and bitterness and wrath, that they would know love and patience and kindness, forgiveness of sins, instead of wrath and condemnation. Have mercy, we pray, upon the parents. Help them to be to their children as God is to them, gracious and patient and kind and loving. And we pray for our children in this church, Lord. As they grow up, they will see more and more that their parents are far from perfect, that their parents make mistakes, sometimes sin, and sometimes do not know the answer to their questions. And yet, you have given this command to children that have parents like them. And I ask that you would help our children and young people to look beyond the human parents which you have given them and to see you, the living God, standing behind them. That our children may honor their parents as their way to honor you. Grant them, we pray, much patience with their parents, much forgiveness of their parents' faults and sins, and a submissive heart to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, so that they may be able to obey His commandments to them. Hear our prayer this evening. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've already seen that the most effective way for a father and mother to be a good father and mother is first of all to have a good marriage. To be a faithful husband to one's wife is the best preparation in the world to be a good father to the children. To be a faithful wife to her husband is the best way a woman can qualify herself to be a good mother to her children, because the most important thing we teach our children is what the love of God is in the way we treat them and what a good marriage is supposed to be for their future. Those two things are the most important things we teach our children. And for that reason, it's hard for me to go on because there's so many things that parents have to learn about raising their children. And now as we wind down the years of our children in age, Debbie and I look at each other at times and say, you know, we always tried to follow what we understood God's will to be in the Bible to raise our children. But if we had it to do over again, there are so many things we would have to change because we've learned more about the Bible since then. Our children ought to leave our homes knowing the grace of God, knowing the love of God and the way we've treated them. They need to leave our homes without harsh memories of lost tempers and bitter words and condemning looks. They need to leave our homes knowing that their mom and their dad are far from perfect, but they love them. And that these two people, husband and wife and father and mother themselves, are bowing before the Lord God daily to learn better how to be parents. Our children need to see humility in their parents. Not parents who are trying to hold on to their authority through the use of power and pride. But for the reasons that we love Jesus Christ, his humility and tenderness and mercy. So many things we have yet to learn as parents. Hopefully our children will start out with more instruction and better examples than we had. And as they set their homes apart and raise their children, they will avoid many of the mistakes that we made, even as sincere Christian parents. But one thing we know to be true, and that is if there are any rules of guidance, any principles that must be followed in raising children, they are found in this book. And boys and girls, if there are any rules to follow and principles to learn about you being a child and a young person and growing up into a fully functioning adult person, they're in this book. When Paul was trying to instruct the Ephesian church how to have loving homes, he said to husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He said to wives, be subject to your husbands as unto the Lord. He said to fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and discipline of the Lord. And to children, he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You see, each of these statements is the essence of what each of these people are to be in the home. When you think husband, you're to think one who loves like Christ does. When you think wife, you're to think of one who is subject to Christ and to her husband as a Christian should be. When you think of fathers, you're supposed to think of strong men who know how to be tender and patient, who teach and discipline their children. And when you think of children, we're to think of children that are submissive and obedient to their parents. These are the essences of what each person is to be in the home. And boys and girls, that's what God has said to you. It isn't my invention. And your moms and dads did not invent this word to keep you under control till you got bigger than they are. In fact, Paul said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right. It isn't just because they're bigger and stronger and have more money. It's right. God says it's right. Whether you like it or not, God says it's right. And therefore, God's will for you, God's will for you, children and young people, the first thing you're called to do in your life is to honor your father and mother and obey them in the Lord, for this is right. It's difficult to do this, young people. It really is. There are four reasons that I can think of, and I'm sure there's many more why it's so hard, but let me just mention them to you. It's difficult to honor and obey your parents in the Lord, especially as you grow older, because your parents sin sometimes. They aren't God. I don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but they aren't the smartest people in the world sometimes. Sometimes they're afraid. They don't know what to do. And they're afraid that if they do something wrong, it will hurt you. And if they do something else, it will hurt worse. And sometimes they don't know what to do. They don't have all the answers sometimes that you want them to. Sometimes they're inconsistent and sin. They won't allow you to show anger toward them, but sometimes they show anger toward you, and it confuses you sometimes. One thing you need to understand is that your parents still sin. And so it becomes difficult for you as you grow older to honor them and respect them as God calls you to, because you see inconsistencies and you see failures and faults in them that you didn't see when you were little. Sadly, some children are raised in homes where parents sin seriously against their children, going far beyond biblical discipline with the rod and spanking into physical beatings and verbal demeanings with words that are harsh and cruel and crush the soul of a child. Sometimes parents sin gravely in violating personal boundaries of children that ought never to be violated. And some children are raised in these homes where they are greatly, greatly hurt and damaged as they grow up. Some children are taught to steal by their parents, taught to murder by their parents, taught to use drugs in every way by their parents. Parents sin. And so, as a child is raised in the nurture and discipline of the Lord with parents that sometimes fail, they look at their parents and say, why should I obey them? A second reason it's difficult for children to honor and obey their parents is because children sin. One of the problems with us young people is that all of us are born with a sinful nature. And that nature is what we inherited from our forefathers, Adam and Eve, and even our own parents. And do you know what the essence of that sinful nature is, boys and girls? Now, this is what our natural bent is as we grow up. No one is going to tell me what to do. That's what sin is. God told Adam and Eve what to do. They decided that God was not going to tell them what to do. And so they broke his law and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And on that day, according to the scripture, every child is born by nature a child of wrath, born in sin, born under the law. And so when we're born, boys and girls, we have within ourselves a disposition to not want to obey and honor our father and mother. And that makes it difficult. Because even those times when we want to, we can find deep in our hearts something that says, I don't want to. That's called sin. So here you've got two problems. You've got parents that are imperfect and sometimes confuse themselves about what to do. And sometimes coming from homes where they did not have good Christian parents, and they're having to learn from scratch how to raise you. And they make many mistakes at times with you for all their sincerity. But they sin against you at times. And here you are, by nature, a sinner yourself, under the wrath of God, with a nature that is bent toward disobedience. And God still says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's two strikes against you right there. There's a third reason it's difficult. If you do not have faith in Jesus Christ, you cannot obey your parents as God wants you to. You may be able to learn the rules and get by like you do in school, or like you do in a job you have where you learn how to fit in and you do what you're supposed to do to avoid the most static you can. And you learn how to get by just on the edge of what they require so that they really can't get upset with you and you really don't have to do exactly what they say. The problem with all that is this. If you love Jesus Christ, you will want to keep His commandments. So every time you find in your heart this attitude, you know, my mom and dad, they just don't understand. They told me to do this stuff, and I don't see the sense in it. And I just don't see why I have to do that. So I'm going to do what I have to get by, to keep them off my back. Every time you think like that, boys and girls and young people, you can be sure of one thing. Jesus Christ is not on your mind. Because if you love Him for dying on the cross for your sins, there's one thing that happens to you. You want to do what He says. Jesus told a parable in the Gospels, boys and girls, and it was about the Jewish people. And he told, it was really a story or an account of the Old Testament, where God was a man who sent His servants to a far country to tell them to manage His household like He wished. And every servant the man sent out into that far country, the people of that country killed him. They killed one servant after the other. So one day the man had an idea. I know what I'll do. I'll send my son, because they won't kill him. They haven't got the guts to do that. So he sent his son. You know what they did? They took him in their hands. They treated him roughly. And they said, we will not have this man to rule over us. See, that's sinful nature. But when you become a Christian, something changes, boys and girls. You bow to the feet of Jesus Christ and you say, I want this man to rule over me. And if that's not true of your heart and your desires, it's going to be mighty hard for you to honor and obey your parents and to even see the wisdom of it, to want to do it, and to try to do it in a way that pleases God. So the problem here is that our parents are sinful. They make mistakes. We are sinful. We sin. And we, if we are not children who know the Lord, we cannot obey Him then. That's three strikes right there. And then there's the problem of those parents that are trying to do a good job according to God's ways, and they still don't know what to do sometimes. They don't know how to handle two or three little children calling for their attention all at once. They don't know how to talk to a teenager lovingly and kindly and not condescendingly and critically. They're scared for your life. They're scared for your death. They don't know what's going to happen to you when you grow up if you continue this way. And so sometimes even sincere, godly parents require things of their children that they ought not to do. Or out of fear, they let them do things they ought not to. And they make mistakes there. There's so many strikes against us, boys and girls. As we are children growing up in a home, to love God and keep this commandment. But you know what? In spite of all of those things, the sins of your parents and your own personal sins, in spite of the fact that you do not know Jesus Christ yet, perhaps, and even your Christian parents fail in what they try to do, in spite of all that, there's one thing that doesn't change. And that's this. God commands you to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. To honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long. You see, God gave this law for a reason, boys and girls. Two reasons, really. One, to save your life. If you will honor and obey your parents, your life will be saved. They will keep you from danger. They will teach you things that may save your life one day. But the second thing about this law is this. It's given to teach you that you really are a sinner. That there arises in your heart at times a desire to disobey your mom and dad and an anger against them that is almost frightening at times. It shows you that what God says in the Bible is true, that we are by nature sinners and children of wrath, even as the rest. And God has given this commandment as the first commandment for you to obey growing up, to teach you that you need a Savior. You need Jesus Christ to atone for your sins. You need Jesus Christ's power to come into your heart and change it to what it should be and what He wants it to be. And so this commandment, which is so impossible to fulfill perfectly, becomes a messenger from God to teach you how much Jesus Christ had to die for on the cross. Not just bitter words against parents, not just no, but bitter feelings and hateful looks. It took blood to pay for these sins. And in paying for these sins, and winning our affection and love by his death, he comes to us with nails in his hands and says, "Now, children, here's how I want you to live for me. Forget the imperfections of your parents, their weaknesses and their sins. For me, I want you to love me and keep this commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." These words come from the hands of Jesus Christ, boys and girls. And he didn't give them to oppress you or to give people power over you. He gave them to help you. You must deal with Jesus Christ, young people, in the attitudes of your heart that come forth by this commandment, and decide with an act of your will to bow your mind and your emotions and your will and your life to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, and say to him, "Lord, if you want me to honor my father and my mother, and to obey my mommy and my daddy, I will do it. Not because they're perfect, because they're not. Not because I'm perfect, because I can't be. But because you are perfect. And you know what is best for me, even if I don't." So you see, boys and girls, whatever obeying your father and mother means and honoring them means, at this point, it comes down to whether or not you love Jesus Christ. It really does. If he rose from the dead as he promised, and he is God, what option do you have? What alternative have you than loving him and keeping his commandments? Do you believe that he rose from the dead? Well, it's not enough to believe it. It requires for you to submit your will to him as Lord of your life. And the first place that's manifest for a child is toward his parents. And as that child grows up and begins to see even more faults in his parents and more faults in themselves and more conflicts in the home in those teenage years, which are difficult. Even more, this child, loving Jesus Christ, turns to him and says, "Lord, it's so confusing around here and it's so hard to obey them sometimes. And I find such disobedience and anger in my heart at times. How can I obey them, Lord?" And he says the same kind of thing he said to Thomas in the upper room. "Look here. Look here in my hand and see the holes in my hand. Look here. See where the spear went into my side. Be not unbelieving, but believing." Every day the teenager has to come to Christ and decide whether they believe in him or not. Because you can't honor your father and mother, and you can't obey them if you don't. The law will only reveal more and more sin in your heart and more condemnation before God. But coming to Jesus Christ to set you free and to pay for all those sins against your parents and in your heart that you've committed, now Jesus Christ gives you a love for him that enables you to obey even imperfect parents. And as you grow up and you get into adulthood and you start your own family, you start to learn some things, you know. It's pretty hard to raise children. I didn't know how hard it was I didn't know what a fearful responsibility it was to have these little souls in my hands and know that I will give account to God for how I raised them. Now I see why my daddy seemed so worried at times. Now I see why my mother wept in prayer over my soul sometimes. Now I see why they were so grieved in their heart and heartbroken when I rebelled against them and disobeyed them without any concern what they thought. Because if I had this child treat me that way, it would be so grievous. No matter about their sins and no matter about your sins, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, risen from the dead, has said to children of all ages, honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. And the children who are still under their authority at home, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. When Jesus was 12 years old, boys and girls, he went down to the temple. And he taught the teachers in the temple, and they were amazed at him. And then, when his father and mother picked him up, they went back home to the little town of Nazareth. And here's what the Bible says. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Jesus always obeyed his parents, boys and girls, even though they were imperfect and sinful, and he wasn't. Even though he was smarter than they were, even though he knew more of the Bible than they did, even though he made them in their mother's wombs, as a child and a young man, according to his father's command, he subjected himself to his parents. And then they said, Jesus, I want you to go down to the carpenter shop and make another stool for the neighbor. Yes, sir, I'll do that, Daddy. And when his mommy said, Jesus, I want you to go down to the marketplace, get some more turnip greens and bring them back for supper. He said, yes, ma'am. And when his brothers and sisters were over there fighting, fussing at each other and calling each other names, and Jesus didn't do any of that. And his mom said, son, I want you to go over there and make those kids be quiet and behave. He didn't say, oh, mom, I don't want to do that. They're so sinful, and I'm so perfect. You go do it. He said, yes, ma'am. And you know what? By leading a perfect life of obedience to his parents, when he died upon the cross, he was a perfect sacrifice to pay for every time you've disobeyed yours, every time you've hated yours, every time you wish they were dead, every time you wished you had different parents, every time you were angry at God, every time you said, I can't wait to get out of this household. I can't stand these people. Jesus died for things like that, boys and girls, to pay the penalty of God's judgment against those sins, that you may be forgiven of them and be given eternal life and learn to have a heart that is as loving and submissive to your parents as he was to his. Jesus is not asking you to do something he didn't do himself. He has never given a commandment that will hurt you. He's never told you to do anything that's bad for you. And he never will. And he proved it on the cross when he died for our sins. How far he would go to love us. Is it so much for him to come to us and say, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right"? I don't think so. There's so many sins I've committed against my parents growing up. I'm ashamed of them. There are sins I've committed against them as an adult, and I'm ashamed of them too. But I'm thankful for Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for me, to give me a heart that wants to change and seeks to change and promises by his grace to change. You need Jesus Christ, boys and girls. And every time you disobey your mom and dad, God's telling you, you need a Savior and you need a Lord. Come to me. Come to me. I will not turn away from you. And as you love Jesus Christ and keep his commandments, you will find something happening. It'll be well with you. Your mom and your dad will trust you more. They will give you more responsibilities. They will give you more freedom because you're trustworthy. And as you grow into those teen years and approach the time, for whatever reason, you leave that home, whether for marriage or job or education or whatever it is, you know what will happen. They'll come to you and they'll say, "Honey, I wish you well, and you have been a joy to me in this home. I love you, and I always will." Their heart will break when they see you go, because they'll miss you. But they will be happy because you have proven yourself to be a godly young man or woman who becomes trustworthy and obedient to God and man. And they know you'll be okay as you leave. For as you leave their home and under their immediate authority, you will still be under the authority of Jesus Christ the Lord, who loved you and gave himself up for you. And no parent has to be afraid of their children when their children are submitted to him. Next week we'll go into some practical matters about honoring your father and mother and obeying them, what that means, young people and boys and girls. But I'll close again by saying this. This commandment shows whether or not you love Jesus Christ or not. It shows your spiritual condition and your need of him. And I call you to come to him for mercy and forgiveness through his death and submission to the goodness of his character, where you trust him to guide your life. And if you believe he is that good, it won't be so bad when he tells you to obey your parents. Come to Jesus Christ. Let us pray.